Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Is that your drum set behind you right there?
Oh, this old thing? Yeah. I was thinking, God, are they going to ask me about my bloody drums or what?
No.
Yeah, look, it's just my it's my electric drum kit.
Oh, that's sick.
Look how many cricket bats you had as well. Okay.
How, well, it's that is an impressive amount of cricket bats. But what I want to ask is, if I wanted to become a drummer, would you be able to give me lessons?
You know, theoretically, yes. Would I?
Is this a genuine question? I don't
understand. Yeah, I mean, are you literally asking me for drum lessons, or are you saying could or...
This is not a question of the week, I was just saying.
Do you give drum lessons? Do you? No, I don't really, no.
No, it's all right.
I mean, I mean, my kids, I'm just, my kids are,
I don't have time anyway. So.
You're far too busy. To be honest, you need time with drums. It takes a lot of time.
I've practiced a bit, like just on a little drum pad.
What drum pad do you have? What
a
do you mean,
drum
like
a pad? Like a little, you know, a little rubber drum pad.
like this old thing?
Like one of these.
Like exactly that thing. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like that thing, but it's round, my one.
Oh, but I think
like this one.
Exactly, like that. Yeah.
Can you
It's pretty satisfying when you get that like the syncopated rhythm.
I'm pretty sure you can't do syncopated rhythms, Francis. That's quite an advanced thing.
Hey.
Do you know, Jamie, you'll be doing syncopated rhythms with Strictly. Have you done the samba yet?
Yeah, are you not watching? I don't understand. Yes, I've done the samba.
I just got so revealed myself there.
Yes.
Harry, I do know how to make syncopated rhythms, actually, because I make techno music, so I know how to
Fair enough. Right, yes. Okay, well, then you do know how to drum. Yeah, fine. Well, you know the patterns and the rhythms.
I know how to make beats, yeah.
Right, exactly.
And I try and mimic that, and I do finger drumming.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'd make a lot of demos just finger drumming. But
maybe you guys should collab.
Hey, Harry, look, I'm a busy guy, I'm afraid. I don't.
You could be called McFrancis.
No, but actually, if we could make some beats. Actually.
Imagine that, McFrancis. We could put on 18 arenas and see what happened.
That's true, yeah. Actually, I think we would sell them out.
I would honestly love for you to put up, like, saying McFrancis.
It would have to be no McBool.
Yeah, yeah, could be that. But Harry, I want to ask you because you obviously, I don't know if you know this, you haven't been watching, but that's fine. I'm obviously doing Strictly Come Dancing. Yes, thank you very much, quarterfinals. Yeah. But dude, you
vote for Jamie.
Thanks, buddy. I think that's going to help.
That's really going to help.
That's really going to help. But
it's worked
but
so far.
You won it.
I was going to say, it's taken you longer than I thought for you to mention that. I was hoping you'd get that in, early.
How did that feel to win it?
Yeah, it was good. To be fair, actually, joking aside, it was amazing. It was amazing. Because I'm sure you're starting to understand this, Jamie. Like, to begin with, you know, I was really nervous and I was totally, like, nervous and thinking, oh, my God, what am I doing? This is so embarrassing. And, you know, if maybe thinking I could take it as a bit of a joke. And you soon realise, like, this, it's serious. And it is, like, people love it. Like, the public love it. And actually, it's something you have to take seriously and you have to show it the respect that it deserves because people love it. It's like a British institution. It's, you know, it's... and so... I really got into it, and you literally get into that bubble, and
but so to get all the it, way to winning the... it, you won it. That, and I was watching your dances. You were good. Like you were good.
It was an amazing experience, and you know, obviously, winning it was kind of a great, like the icing on the cake, I guess. But it was, it was a very happy memory for me, like a you know a real highlight, and also it's given me other opportunities, you know, as
It was dancing. if you ever any of the listeners you want to get it's one of the most incredible moments I think in Strictly history. We have Bruce Forsyth who is presenting it.
Bruce Forsyth.
Mate, I'm literally I spend my life in the band doing that in interviews and we just take the piss out of each other like constantly. I presented the one show a couple of times recently and it's like my biggest fear of doing that, of just like saying something wrong. It's been like, oh sorry.
The best impression that Francis does, he's done recently, is Bill Gates's impression.
I don't mean to be doing it again. You have to listen back.
Anyway, the point was is that if you're a Strictly fan, they'll know this. So Bruce Forsyth is hosting it, and Harry Judd wins. You win Strictly Come Dancing. And your bandmates run onto the stage and start hugging you. And he starts hitting, I don't know who it is, someone at the top of the head.
It's my brother as well. So it was Dougie, Danny, Tom and my brother. They just stormed the stage. And like, he was like, who is it? You know, get off the stage. And he was literally whacking them with the edge of the car. And but the worst thing was, if you watch it back, he was genuinely stressed because it was live TV. The worst thing was, once he'd kind of calmed the situation down, the guys had gone off. My dad just casually walked onto this, like, you see him, he literally just really slowly just walked on stage and was like, well done, Harry. I was like, Dad, it's fucking live TV, go away. Like, I was just like, thanks, but...
he was so like, late, just strolling across.
He was so late. They jumped on. It was a big, like, you know, energy. And then once they'd gone, Henny just slowly, casually walked on. I was like, Dad, this is not okay. Like, yeah, so it was pretty awkward, but...
But dude, because it's one of those things. It's you've performed in front of thousands and thousands and thousands of people since you were, like, 17, as you said. But for some reason, Strictly, it's a different type of nerves. Did you find that or not really?
No, absolutely, mate. It's the scariest thing I've ever done. And I, since then, whenever I do things and I feel nervous, I literally always say to myself, well, it's not as bad as doing Strictly. So if I can do Strictly, I can do this. Like, it genuinely is terrifying. I found the, I think it was the second week. So the first week I did like an up-tempo dance. So you can kind of cover your nerves by just... thinking, energy. Like, oh, I'm just going to go for it, energy. And like, I did a cha-cha and it was just like, okay, I'm just going to go into like a character and just pretend that I'm really confident and just go for it. And I was like, okay, that wasn't so bad. But then it was the second week, I did like a ballroom one, a foxtrot, and it was really slow. And when you have nerves and adrenaline, everything feels so slow. And yes. I remember just literally just like...
shaking.
Shaking, and just my knees were shaking. And I was just like, in my head, I'm thinking... this is the worst moment of my life. I feel like I could literally just pass out. It's so terrifying.
Yeah. It's awful.
I feel like the bit where you're waiting to dance as well, you're waiting and like, you know, clapping your fellow contestants. Oh, weren't they great? But all you're thinking about is, oh, when am I going to, you know. And they do the intro. They do the intro and you're standing there with your partner, you know.
Yes.
And you're like awkwardly smiling, you know. Yeah. And then you'd walk down the stairs and the VT would be on and you're just like, oh my God, I'm going through the steps and just thinking, oh my God, oh my God. Heart
Do I
thumping.
Step right? Do I step left at this point? What
yeah,
do I
you,
do?
Visualizing that, you start questioning your... everything. You're like, is it, I remember to my partner, I was like, is it, it's left foot first, yeah, it's left foot first, yeah, it's left foot, okay, it's left foot first. And it's just a horrible experience.
So you didn't enjoy it?
No, I loved the overall thing. Do you know, I didn't enjoy the dancing until the semi-final, because in the semi-final you did two dances, and I was terrified for the first dance of the semi-final. But once I got through that, I was like, oh, that was great. That went well, and I really enjoyed the next dance. And then the same thing happened for the final. Once I got through the first dance, I had three more dances and I really enjoyed them. So that was the only time I actually really...
You have like a sort of mental breakthrough where you realise, oh, shit, I can actually do this. I'm actually quite a good dancer. I could win this.
Yeah, I'd say probably week one.
Jamie, is that when have you had that breakthrough yet?
My eureka moment is quickly, sorry, it was when I had the cha-cha as my first dance and there was a glitter ball and I was the first person to dance. It was Strictly Come Dancing 2020, welcome to the stage, Jamie Engen, and the music started and the glitter ball came up and I was like, here we go, and I was totally off time. In my head was,
if you panic then it's so hard to get it back. It's like,
I didn't know what to do, so I just started pointing at myself. It was horrible.
I
and
have
then,
to watch that.
Oh, mate. And then what happened was, is then for the next, when it came to the second week, because you can't be knocked out the first week, I almost had PTSD. I was like, it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It's like when you drop the ball, drop a catch once, and you're like, and then it like psychs you out, and you do it again.
And you just want to hide.
You know everyone's watching you.
Yeah, it's terrifying, mate. Do you know that feeling? You're trying like cover it up by being really confident, like pointing at yourself.
Yeah.
But inside you're just dying. Oh God. Yeah. Do you know, it is just the worst, and that's the biggest fear, isn't it? Messing up and just losing your way, like.
It's just that confident.
And inside, I do that. When you panic, you just resort to confidence, and it's horrible.
Do you remember that at school? Because you're a keen cricket. We played cricket together. Do you remember we played cricket together?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Test
Match
Special thing.
There we go.
Yeah, Jamie Lang, right?
Yeah. Hey, that's my special. Took your punt, it paid off.
we played cricket and I went on to, they put me on the last two overs to bowl, and I got hit for sixes like every single time. It's so bad. But what I was thinking of is that cricket is the funniest, as you said, Francis, when you're playing cricket in a team and someone drops a catch and you're like, oh, and you'll go, don't worry about it. But when he drops a second catch, you're literally like,
yeah. It happened this summer. I played two games this year, obviously not as many as normal, but And the, by the end of the day, we were fielding second. By the end of the day, there was like loads of people came to watch. And I was stood there and the batsman just tried to like smash it out of the park. And it went so high and it was just there. And I was just there. And he's like, boom, 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 boom. And then just... And it just...
Just you know everyone's watching.
I can hear the whole bit, everyone watching. Ooh. And it's like, oh, fuck. It's the worst feeling ever, dropping a catch. It's terrible.
It is.
Oh. That is just, that is, and again, I covered it with like making a joke, like, you know, ha ha ha, like, it's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah. It's like,
oh, sorry, guys. Sorry,
I was,
lads.
Yeah. I was asked to play.
Sun was in my eyes. That was it. And the sun was like, sorry, lads. Sun was in my eyes.
I was asked to play a football match at like at Wembley. And it was, and for Radio 1. And I was, it came to penalties, and I was the penalty with the last penalty taker to stay in. And I hit the post, and I turned around, and everyone looked at me like, you fucking wanker. And I was like, I'm sorry. God. I'm sorry, everyone.
You know, the thing is, the things you do in your life, like, that are the most embarrassing are the things that, like, my bandmates, or like, I thrive on my bandmates embarrassing themselves. Like, that is my favorite thing. Like, we don't talk about all like the like sellout shows. We talk about, do you remember the time you did that? That was amazing. It was so embarrassing. Yeah. So
we've got a few of those from our tour.
From our tour, we had those. Yeah. Have you ever had a moment on stage where it's been a complete meltdown for you or one of your bandmates? We've just gone, oh my God, this is just not going well.
Yeah, a couple of things. Like, embarrassingly, I'm the only one in the band that's fallen off the stage, and I'm the drummer, so it's so bad. So basically,
he fell off the back.
No, backwards. I fell off the front of the stage. So we were playing at this show, and Dougie did this thing where he was like, "Okay, next song, dance competition, best dancer wins a tenner." Then he pulled a tenner out of his pocket.
Best dancer wins a tenner.
Yeah, and we played the song, and then he spent ages like trying to decide who's gonna win. I was just like, this fucking hell, get on with it, mate. So I just got off my kit and like sort of took the tenor off him and went to lean forward to give it to someone, and little did I know, in between the stage and this kind of fake like mountain stuff that was there, it was a winter gig, like a Christmas gig, it was the perfect UK size 9, you know, shoe, and I just went to give the like the £10 note, and I just disappeared. Like, my leg just went through the hole, and I was just stuck. My leg was just stuck in. I literally had to get pulled.
Did it hurt?
No, and I just spent the next song like literally in. Like, we were just all in hysterics. It was awful.
Oh, so, yeah. My god!
It made the gig though. It was great.
Oh. Do you have a favorite ever gig?
Favorite ever gig.
Or is it all a
blur? Do you know? To be honest, it is a bit of a blur. Like, you know, we've, like I said, we've been lucky enough to have been doing this for like 16 years. So, but I think a highlight probably was Hyde Park. You know, that was insane. Yeah. We I don't know why, but we were looking back at it the other day, and it is mind blowing, like how many people there. And what was really special about that as well, like the first couple of songs, it was like torrential rain, and then the sun came out, and this rainbow like framed the stage perfectly.
Wow.
Literally, when we played Five Colours in Her Hair, like this five coloured rainbow like framed the stage, and the sun was setting and the crowd were just in it. It was just a fucking amazing experience. So that is definitely right up there. And I know you were joking earlier, but it is totally humbling. Like, it is just like, it's very, very special. And to share that with your mates, it's just, it's memories.
I thought you were about to say share it with you guys. Share it with you guys on this podcast.
I was like, that's so touching. With you guys. Yeah. It's really humbling.
Thanks, dude. I really felt that.
When you saw that rainbow, were you like, God, boys, we're on a mission from God?
Well, to be fair, mate, I didn't see it until after the gig because it was framing the stage. So it was a fun.
Getting the band back together.
Yeah.
Hey, Francis, we got to that moment in the podcast where you need to have the answers to the question of the week.
Questions of the week this time. In Harry's honour, I've asked two. So just for anyone who wasn't listening to the first half.
So they just came straight into the second
half. Imagine that. Okay. They're just clicking in because they're bored and they land on the questions.
I don't have time for that first half nonsense. Okay, so the question of the week was, how many US dollars are shredded and turned to compost in a day? Mm-hmm. And then the other question was, how long did a chicken live without its head? And you said, Jamie, what were your answers?
I said a million and one. And Harry said 500,000. I said, it's for 2 minutes. And Harry said 24 minutes.
$6 million are shredded every day.
I was close. I was close on that one.
Closer.
You were not. You were off by several orders of magnitude. But the chicken lived for 18 months.
Thank you. I told you, man.
Jesus, you were just, what the hell?
What I don't understand is, how did it eat?
Well, I don't know how it ate, but I don't know how that...
Do you think they ate the chicken afterwards?
I don't know how that would have survived. I have no idea.
His name was Mike.
What, the chicken?
Yeah, the chicken was called Mike.
So, you've done 200 episodes. And I've listened to, like, you know, a lot of podcasts all the time. I love it. People have, like, segments and ideas. You guys... On the day, don't you just Google interesting facts? You're like, what should we read out today?
Google
an interesting fact and you just read it out.
That's a sweet...
Hey, it's what people keep coming back for,
Harry. Research and effort goes into this, isn't it, guys?
Hey, Harry, listen, brother. Dude, I also want to give a shout out because you guys released a new album. It went to number 2.
Yes.
Isn't that insane? Like, and it's what's it called?
Young Dumb Thrills.
Can it still go to number 1? Can we get it to number 1?
No, we notoriously chart well and then shoot straight out of the charts.
we've got a big following, Harry. I don't know if Private Parts podcast listeners, they can.
Oh,
they
well,
can
it
maybe...
might shoot back up the chart. Yeah.
So we may be able to help you out there.
We hold the record from going from number 1 to then dropping out the next week, like the fastest drop ever. Which is, really? You know, which is testament to our amazing fans. But the fact that no one else buys our music.
We're going to tell all the fans right now, go out there, go and download the album, go and get the album, go and buy the album. Just how you guys are complete legends.
If that's the order, if we want to see if we can get it back up to number 1.
It might drop even further.
I would literally, it probably will. People go, I was going to listen to that, but now, But no, listen, we're really proud of it, mate. I think people, you know, look, the thing is with McFly, the people have we're very lucky, we've got an amazing fan base, but, you know, there's often a preconceived idea of what we are, and I you know, people are always pleasantly surprised when they come to see the shows, and, you know, listen to the music on the album. Often singles are kind of, you know, purposely picked to kind of, for, you think, wide appeal, and... But yeah, it's a great album, so we're really happy.
No, you guys should be so proud. And listen, as I said before, my girlfriend, one of the biggest fans, I'm one of the biggest fans, I know Francis as well. Harry, I'm sorry, and you're just a complete hero.
That was such... Francis going, yeah!
yeah. Huge fan.
No, I'm a huge fan.
Huge fan.
You guys were my number 1 on the Wrapped, not 2020 Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah, mate.
Harry, what we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Really? From me?
Yeah, from you.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Right. Well, I'm just looking around my room for inspiration. I've wanted to collect cricket bats for about 10 years. I talked about it for 10 years. I'm a complete cricket nerd, right? Mm-hmm. And... as you can see in the background here, during lockdown, I started my collection.
Wow.
These are all cricket bats from the 90s, because it's nostalgic to me.
Yeah. And Grey Nichols,
Kookaburra, Gunn and Moore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This will mean nothing to the people.
The 90s were just epic.
It was epic, yeah.
Anyone who actually lived through the 90s knows that they were just so much better than right now.
So much better. So what I would say... what I'm going to say from that, I'm trying to take something inspirational from this room, is that I don't regret that. I'm glad I finally fucking started collecting. So listeners out there, if you're thinking of doing something that you love, don't hesitate, follow your passion and maybe try collecting 90s cricket bats. But good luck. I will outbid you on eBay because I fucking love cricket bats.
Harry, mate, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Listeners, I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Woo! Good luck. I'm strictly good.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.